All right, joining us on air now, it's Kyle Bukauskas from Sportsnet. Obviously, you are aware of his work if you watch any Canadian hockey broadcasts on Sportsnet over the last few years. We're really thrilled to have him on. Kyle, we're going to break down the Canadian division right here. There's a ton of storylines, a lot of juicy stuff going on. But let's just start with this. How fired up are you to get hockey back and to see what this lineup might look like with all the Canadian teams facing off against each other for the next 3+ months?
Yeah, it's man, guys, it's no question still a very strange time. Like, the overall well-being side of things, like being back here in Ontario again. I spent some time out west with my family over the course of the fall, but being back here now and just seeing like the case numbers go out of control the way it is, and clearly we're not through the worst of this pandemic. Yeah, not to break down the conversation here or anything, guys, but there's that side of it, and you're kind of going, man, oh man, there's still a long ways to go as a country, as a continent, and the world in general. But the fact that we've got hockey coming back here now, and unfortunately, obviously, there's still already been some issues in Dallas and Columbus there, but at least as far as the Canadian division goes, it looks to be so far so good there. So the fact that, you know, we're going to have some entertainment, some sports, some live hockey again here. And we saw how much of a hit the World Juniors were here north of the border, obviously ending in a silver medal. But just the fact that there's going to be an NHL season here again and an unprecedented schedule with an all-Canadian division, I think there's a lot of solace in there. A lot of things to look forward to for hockey fans, and just to have something to escape towards for those that will be seeking it.
Hockey Night in Canada's Kyle Bukauskas joining us here on air. Kyle, from the moment the Canadian division sort of was set in stone and announced, there's been a lot of debate about sort of, you know, the teams, how they're going to break down. I think initially one of the sort of popular comments was that Toronto was sort of at the top, maybe Ottawa was at the bottom, and then there was sort of a group fighting in the middle. Having sort of had some time to marinate on that, you know, how do you see this Canadian division breaking down? Just before you came on, we talked about, you know, how many changes there are in Montreal and in Ottawa. There's been a couple updates with the Canucks, with the Travis Hamonic sort of potential signing here. You know, do you think that there is, you know, do you think the Leafs are that much better than everyone else? And, or do you see it as a bit more of a wash here?
You know, Alex, I predicted they would win the division, but I don't think it's a far and away foregone conclusion. It's not a fait accompli for sure. I mean, I, the more I look at Montreal, I ask myself, you know, is this the team that's best built come playoff time? And certainly I think there's a conversation to be had there. Like really outside of Ottawa, obviously, and maybe Winnipeg, like if anybody else finish first in the division, I don't know if I would be totally shocked. Certainly there would be teams that maybe I'd be a bit surprised if they grabbed the number one seed here after 56 games. But I think there's a lot of points. There's a lot of positioning that I think is up for grabs. Toronto, I think, has earned the right to probably be the favorite going in. Obviously, you know, they had a difficult time in the bubble in July and August in their own building, but you know, you look at the pieces that they brought in, you think that they've done a lot of good things to better battle test themselves for what's to come and getting themselves prepared for the playoffs. But you know, looking around the league, you know, there's a lot going on and a lot of good things going on, or just in the Canadian division in particular. So for me, I think there's still a lot of things yet to be decided. I still really believe that you know, for everything that's going on, an all-Canadian division, which you've never seen before, a 56-game schedule over the course of 115 or so days, you know, I don't think everything is going to go as planned once the games actually start, right? Like, there's going to be some chaos. There's going to be some unexpected things kind of develop as over the course of the next 4 months here, which is all part of the excitement and the intrigue for me. So, I submitted my preseason predictions to the powers that be at Sportsnet.ca, and I put Toronto as the North Division winner, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if it was somebody else at the end of May here.
You bring up Montreal, Kyle. I think that they have, over the course of this offseason, really solidified that roster. It seems like across the league, people are really impressed with what they've done. You mentioned that you look at that roster and you think this is a team that would be a tough out in the playoffs. What do you like about what the Canadians did in the offseason, and why do you feel like that they've got a pretty solid lineup when it comes to playoff time?
I just think the depth that they've acquired and depth that, you know, is going to be, it's going to be more than serviceable for you. I think guys are slotted into right spots. I mean, I go back to, I lived in Montreal for a couple of years and covered that team extensively. And I mean, I remember at the end of that 2018 season where they ended up picking third overall that year at the draft, the amount of people in that market that wanted Marc Bergevin fired. It was unbelievable. But at that time, you know, he was under fire because he had just gone through what was arguably the worst season of his tenure as GM in Montreal. But then they draft Kotkaniemi third overall. And then later in that draft, they get Alexander Romanov. And then on the day of their golf tournament, they trade Max Pacioretty to Vegas. And one of the pieces, key pieces coming back the other way was Nick Suzuki. And you look at those three guys alone and what kind of roles they can play on this team this year. You're already seeing the fruits of Bergevin's labor, which what he dubbed the reset, you know, over 2.5 years ago now, as he went to try to retool this lineup. So between that and then, you know, and add a guy like Toffoli and Josh Anderson, and it looks like the way that they're slotted, at least so far through camp, like they're in positions to succeed. And so Claude Julien, I think, you know, even a couple years ago where they were so close to making the playoffs, but they just didn't quite have the lineup to get them over the hump. They were a team that was at its best when Claude Julien could roll four lines. They played fast, they were relentless, and they just wore teams out. And I think even though they added some bigger bodies, I don't think that it's come at the cost of the type of hockey that they still want to play. I mean, you've got Corey Perry there that can be a good depth option, whether it's a fourth line guy most nights or maybe he plays every other night, but he's certainly not going to be asked to do more than what he's capable of at this stage of his career. I just think they've done a really good job in finally maximizing all that cap space that had been sitting there in Montreal, which I know drove a lot of fans nuts for a few years, but he's put it to good use here now, and because of it, they've got a team that as I said, I think maybe one that's in, at least in the North Division, the best equipped to handle the rigors of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Kyle, one of the sort of their bigger acquisitions was the trade for Josh Anderson. And I know through your time with Hockey Night and sort of, you know, predominantly East Coast games, you would have seen Josh quite a bit. Just wondering if you could give us a sense of what Josh is, because I think he's quietly one of those players that may be flying under the radar for, you know, most of Western Canada.
Yeah, I think he's a guy who, I mean, I remember doing that Columbus-Boston playoff series a couple years ago, and I don't think he was as much of a factor as he would have liked to have been over the course of that six games. But, you know, the one thing that you're seeing coming out of camp there in Montreal, and even Nick Suzuki talked about it there, him and his other line man there, Joe Durand, have been slotted with Anderson at least so far here through camp. But, you know, made the comment that, you know, at one point him and Durant are at the boards, they're watching Anderson fly up the ice, and they kind of chuckled to each other thinking like, boy, this guy is even quicker than we thought he was. I mean, no question, he is a prototypical power forward who wants to get to the net and use his body to create havoc in the offensive zone. But he has no issue getting there before the other guys too, right? He's the guy that can skate, who is, you know, finally healthy again. And clearly, I mean, has taken on the expectations that have been set out for him in signing a long-term contract there in Montreal. And I don't think he's the kind of guy that is now prepared to just, you know, ride off into the sunset now that he's gotten his money, right? I mean, he's clearly wasn't happy about the way last season went and not putting up hardly any points. The injuries that wore him out and clearly was a factor as he tried to get healthy again. And now that that's behind him, I think this is just a hungry player that's determined to prove that the 27-goal season he had a couple years ago is not an anomaly.
Hockey Night in Canada's Kyle Bukauskas joining us here on air. Kyle, you're not alone in picking Toronto. It seems to be the common pick. What do you like about Toronto, and why do you think they are your pick to finish first in the Canadian division?
Well, I mean, they've clearly had the talent for a few years now, right? And then over the course of the last few years, last season in particular, nothing went right for them, whether it was injuries, whether it was, you know, the players clearly thinking it was time for a change behind the bench, some inconsistencies in certain areas, and then the team just not gelling when it truly needed to be. And, there was some players there, obviously, the big guns in Matthews and Marner and Nylander there for the last little while that were considered, you know, good young players in the league. But, you know, now they're working their way closer to the mid-20s now, and I think they're just trying to establish themselves as good players, as stars in this league, and maybe for some, you know, even a superstar-type status. So I think it's a team that's learned a lot, that's now brought in some players like Wayne Simmonds, who I've got a lot of time for, and obviously, you know, it doesn't matter who you cheer for, it's tough to cheer against somebody like Joe Thornton, who clearly is coming in here trying to finish off that resume and win, you know, the one thing that's eluded him his career, that being a Stanley Cup. Their blue line, I think actually looks deep. It looks well-rounded, at least for the most part. Is it the best in the division? I'm not certain about that, but when you compare it to what they started last season with, now that you've got TJ Brody into the mix, now that you've got a guy like Zach Bogosian who can play, you know, just the limited role that you need him to be and not overextend him at this stage of his career. Similar to Montreal, you know, they brought in some guys that are spotted in the right areas on a team that already had plenty of firepower up front and potential to do some damage. There was just obviously, you know, some of that was the intangibles and some of that was just, the extra, the important areas kind of around the nucleus of the team that, you know, obviously, you know, every year plays a role when it comes to the playoffs and the games that matter most. And then they seem like they've done a good job in addressing that. And they know that the pressure's on, right? Because another year of an early playoff exit, there's heads will continue to roll there. So I think between that all considered and some good work by Kyle Dubas over the course of the past few months, has put them in good shape here. And so if Frederik Andersen can bounce back from statistically his worst season as a pro, if he has any kind of rebound at all, which by all accounts, you know, we shouldn't expect that he should do anything different. This is a team that's in a good spot to contend for the division as well.
The Senators are a team that you also follow quite closely. They're on the other end of the spectrum from Toronto. They're being picked by pretty much everybody to finish at the bottom of the standings. Though I was just telling Alex, even though I feel the same way, I've got Toronto up top, I've got Ottawa at the bottom, I don't imagine that Ottawa is going to be a pushover. And I think a lot of people are going to realize that a player like Brady Tkachuk is a lot closer to what his brother is like, a pain in the ass, but also a productive player. What can you tell fans of the other Canadian teams of what they should expect to see from the Senators this season?
Yeah, you know what? I think last year, if you look at the bulk of their games, like there weren't too many times, even though as thin of a lineup as they were and as often as they ended up losing, there weren't a lot of times where they were completely run out of the gym. DJ Smith, the head coach here, this is year two for him in Ottawa. He's made it pretty clear about what he expects in terms of work ethic, and he conveys it in a way that the players there buy into it. But, you know, as DJ even admitted a couple days ago, even in the games that they did win last year, there was a lot of times where they were hanging on by the skin of their teeth over the final, you know, 10 minutes of a game. They weren't able to, you know, put their foot down and make no questions asked about what the result was going to be that night. So I think they're a team now that's a little bit more capable to push back than they were last year. Obviously, they're going to be harder to play against, you know, with Gabranson in the mix, with an Austin Watson in the mix, the fact that they went out and signed Evgeny Dadonov, a pure scoring threat, something that they lacked here. They had somewhat of a threat in Anthony Duclair, who had a red-hot start last year and then kind of cooled off over the past couple of months. And, of course, he ultimately chose to go elsewhere down in Florida. But they've got a threat there. They need to improve their power play, which was dead last year. So I think this is a group that there's a lot of guys there that, I mean, I know they've had a lot of turnover the last few years, but for those that have been around the last little bit, I think they've about had enough being labeled as a team that's destined for a lottery pick, that team that's destined to, you know, at best, maybe they don't come 31st, they come 30th, because the last 3 years they've been 30th, 31st, and 30th across the entire league. So there's certainly some hunger there. There's a lot to prove and some improvement. There's tons of excitement about Tim Stützle. We haven't even mentioned him yet. I think, you know, he's going to be given every opportunity to succeed in his first year in the NHL, and he seems like the kind of guy that's not going to be, you know, fazed by the by the moment just yet, but you know, we'll see. He's expected to join camp here. He's been in quarantine for the past week, but should join the group tomorrow. So we'll get a better sense of how things are going to shape up in terms of the forward lines once he joins the group there. But I think this is an improved team. Are they one that's going to contend for a playoff spot? Maybe if a lot of things go their way, but I think certainly a team that can at least put a scare into some others a lot of nights this year and put themselves in the mix that, you know, maybe they're not destined and labeled as a preseason basement dweller like so many people already have them as.
Hockey Night in Canada's Kyle Bukauskas joining us here on air. We got about 60 seconds here, Kyle. Sportsnet announced this week sort of their schedules for the national and regional games. The pandemic's affected all of us. I'm just wondering what you can share with us as far as your role this year and what we can expect on the sort of the national Hockey Night in Canada broadcast.
Yeah, I can tell you. I mean, I very fortunate to be working the first night on Wednesday in Toronto and then with the Leafs here in Ottawa on Saturday night. Given I live in Ottawa, I'll be on for that one. And then beyond that, we'll see. I just know the schedule is kind of, rather than, you know, getting 3-4 months worth of schedule like we normally would, it's going to be moving in much smaller increments this year given everything that's going on. But there's going to be some changes in terms of, you know, where certain commentators are calling games from, who's traveling, who isn't. But I just know whether it's, you know, Wednesday Night Hockey, Hockey Night in Canada, any of the regional telecasts on our network, certainly the focus has been that, you know, even though there's going to be some challenges and some different things technically than what we're used to being, certainly there's nothing that'll, that will stand in the way of just the push to make it the best product that we try to have it as anytime we go on the air. Certainly that's my focus in my role. And I think for anyone else that's working the games, that's going to be their mindset too. So it's going to be different, but no doubt really looking forward to another season on Hockey Night and the Sportsnet properties.
Yeah, as you said, Kyle, obviously a weird year for everybody, but ultimately hopeful that hockey is something that provides people a distraction. And obviously you're going to be a big part of that with the Hockey Night broadcast and so on. So thanks a lot for making the time. Best of luck this year. Look forward to seeing you on the tube.
Okay, boys. Thanks for having me on. Take care.